This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. A court in Moscow today pronounced Mikhail Khodorkovsky guilty of some of the charges against him. He is the Russian oil magnate jailed 18 months ago, accused of fraud and tax evasion. He led the Yukos oil company and was one of Russia's richest men. NPR's Anne Garrels joins me now from Moscow. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning.
Bring us up to date, please. What are the charges against Khodorkovsky?
Well, the 41-year-old businessman is charged with rigging a privatization auction, stripping profits from a company, illegally using tax havens, and withholding millions in personal income tax. The court has adjourned, but the judges are going to continue to read out hundreds of pages of findings tomorrow. According to his lawyers, one of the judges stated Khodorkovsky's guilt has been proven on all counts, and prosecutors are demanding Khodorkovsky serve 10 years.
There's a widespread belief that this trial was orchestrated by the Kremlin for political reasons.
That's right. The question from the beginning is why, of all the so-called oligarchs, was Khodorkovsky targeted? And the conclusion by many analysts is that the Kremlin was worried by his growing opposition to President Putin. Khodorkovsky was giving money to opposition parties, and his detention is seen as a stark message to others not to challenge the Kremlin.
And what about the Russian public? What do people there think?
Well, according to the polls, opinion is split between those who think he's guilty, those who don't, and those who simply don't know. And pollsters get the same result when they ask Russians if they think the Kremlin is manipulating the case. Demonstrators outside the courthouse have denounced him as a crooked oligarch who stole a country's wealth. Many in what appear to be a sort of organized protester pensioners who saw their savings evaporate. Khodorkovsky supporters, among them leaders of the country's weakened opposition, say the Kremlin is using the courts to silence him. Now, Khodorkovsky isn't sort of the typical oligarch. He turned Yukos into one of Russia's best-run companies. Over time, he made its operations transparent, and he started a foundation to promote civil society initiatives. In his defense, he says, you know, I'm not one of those guys who has palaces, yachts, or football teams.
And the international reaction to this trial, isn't it, after all, having an effect on foreign investment in Russia?
Yes, it's made potential investors very nervous and raised concerns the Kremlin's considering wide-scale renationalization of Soviet-era industries. Putin has denied this. The verdict, incidentally, was initially set for April but was unexpectedly postponed at the last minute, possibly because President Putin was about to host dozens of foreign leaders in Moscow, including President Bush, and didn't want the Khodorkovsky case to cast a pall on all of this. U.S. officials have pointed out that many Russian businessmen bent the rules in the early post-Soviet years, and they've spoken of a selective application of the law against Khodorkovsky. And yesterday, the State Department flat out said the conduct of the case has eroded Russia's reputation and sapped confidence in the Russian legal system.
And tell us about Yukos, or rather, is there a Yukos since this case has been filed?
Well, there's sort of a Yukos. It's been pretty much largely dismembered in a series of questionable moves. The state ordered its key production subsidiary, Yugansk, be put up for auction to cover billions in back taxes. The state gas monopoly said it intended to bid. Now, Yukos secured a court order restraining Gazprom from bidding. But when the bids came in, a previously unknown company, Baikal, was the surprise winner. And just a few days later, it turned out the state oil firm Rosneft had bought Baikal, so it effectively nationalized Yugansk.
Anne, thanks very much.
Thank you.
NPR's Anne Garrels speaking to us about the Yukos trial in Moscow.